Father, we ask you again to help us with this precious book. We come tonight to read and study the Word of God, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us, gives us that unction, that desire to want to know more, and the more we know about you come from this book. And I believe when we come on Wednesday night, I know it's going to be taught, Lord, that there's a desire to learn more about it. And I thank you for the privilege to be able to study it and be able to understand what little we can understand. And dear Lord, again, we pray for our country and different sections. The shooting that went on in Florida, we pray for those families tonight. Be near to them. And their Father, comfort in a mighty way. And help our nation do what we need to do to try to head some of that off, if it's possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bible, won't you turn back with me, Acts chapter 13 tonight to start with. And we've been studying these words, and I hope that you have got to help us time together. And in Acts chapter 13, where we were at last week, but I want to go back and pick a couple of verses out to tie together, because I believe it helps us to understand how God's Word works in sequence. And we study parallel words that helps us understand the instructions of a topic somehow or another. And I know this, it helps understand the Christian life more as we link at words like this. And go back with me in Acts chapter 13. And we want to go back where Paul was preaching, and Luke gives the account here in verse 38 and 39 about Jesus Christ. He said, be it known to you. We're talking about justification now. And we said last week, you know, Adam and Eve were created by God's hand. But we know the new creation is created by God's Holy Spirit, born us to the family of God. And we have to keep in mind, too, when we get talking on certain subjects at times, we talk about the kingdom of God and the church. The church is not the kingdom of God. The church is in that kingdom, but the church is a hidden mystery. And that's a mystery that God brought in age. By the way, we're part of the body of Christ. He's the head. And so though we are born into the family of God, we need to know those places and where we're going to be. In fact, when Christ rules over Israel, we're going to rule with him in the millennial reign. So when you talk about being justified, it helps us understand how we got into the wonderful position that God has let us be in and declare right before God. He said, be it known to you that through this, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, we know it's Christ Jesus, the verses before this we saw last week, it's preached in you, watch, the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe, and that believe is faith, and that faith, you go back to John 1:12, is more than just head knowledge. It's receiving Christ as Savior, because if you believe like you should, you're going to receive Christ as Savior, and keep that in mind. Now, why do I emphasize that? Because we have a situation today that even this word here, understanding was saved by God's grace, ladies and gentlemen, very easy for someone to come along. I just heard this week, person standing for hundreds and hundreds of people made the statement that been saved by God's grace. And we believe that. For by grace are you saved through faith, not yourself, it's a gift of God. But on the other hand, they went even further and said, if someone began to tell you that you had to live a certain way and do a certain thing, forget, because we're saved by God's grace, all that's out. Don't let nobody tell you that. Wait a minute. Don't throw the law under the bus, because the law is still holy. It's still righteous. And there are some guidelines that Christians have to live by. They say, you don't have guidelines. We're saved by God's grace. You're on the way to heaven. God is good. God loves you. And when you're headed to heaven, you just be sure you know you're saved. Then don't let nobody tell you how to live. Ladies and gentlemen, you might as well cut half of this book out if you're going to tell us how to live. Because he tells us how to get saved, and he tells us how to live. And so Paul is telling here, as Luke gives account, that this man believe are justified from all things. Notice that word, all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, that's the understanding, and we're going to look comparatively to the law of Moses and of course, justified by faith, which is the law of faith. Tonight, it's easy to understand why somebody would say, well, I'm not under the curse of the law, and therefore I'm glad it can't kill me. In fact, it's already killed me, and let me see that I need to Christ. And you see that's what he says as we get to Galatians in just a few minutes. But I find that as I understand justification, I can understand where my position in the Lord and know it's a permanent thing. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden you ride a prank of grace into heaven and not have to worry about how you live and what you do and other things, because this book has a lot to say about that. But notice he said that the Jews got upset about this because the Gentiles were brought in. And so where was that last week and pick up tonight. And the congregation was broken up from the Jews, the religious Protestants followed Paul. And notice it said then, that the Gentiles said wanted to preach again the next Sabbath. They did. They were meeting on the Sabbath this time. And when the Jews in verse 45 saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And I just wrote out years ago side of that self-centered, because these people self-centered, that they were playing with Judaism and yet same time believing some of the things that were said about salvation. But when it came to say by grace, then they began to try to bring back under the salvation things that had in Judaism. You can't do that. Once you begin to put law in the place of grace, it destroys grace. And once you find yourself not understanding what grace is, then it's unmerit favor. If you look at law of salvation, it's something we do, we can glory in that. But if you look at grace, you can't glory in that, because God gives it to us. And that's amazing. And he said, Paul said, and Barnabas, Luke said, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be at first been spoken to you. And that's to the Jews, Romans 1:16. You know, not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. It's to the Jew first and to the Gentiles. And then he said, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to Gentiles. It's amazing. He said, the fact that you rebel and don't believe the record, you make yourself unworthy. And what he's saying is, you reject, and your rejection proves you don't deserve eternal life. If you reject eternal life, you don't deserve it. And if you reject it, that's an unpardonable sin. There is no way to get saved unless you come through Christ, through the justification that he's done at Calvary for us. Now, if you will, turn with Romans 3 back again, and let's look at I'm looking at a parallel, saved by grace, and also that removed from the curse of the law, to understand what God has got done for us. And then when we get to the place where we want to get to show at works in court, then you understand more why we are who we are as a child of God, why we are justified, and why are we not condemned, even though sometimes there may be some things in our life that looks condemned because we hadn't grown much in the Lord. But if you look in Romans again, chapter 3, you remember we look back in verse 19, that we know that things whatsoever the law saith, it said to them who were under the law that every mouth should be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By the way, that's what it counts, isn't it? In his sight, God's sight. That's where it counts. And so, you know, sometimes people say, well, I think I keep the law good enough. Well, but it's not in God's sight, because he says that there's no way we can be justified by the law there. And he goes on, he said, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's how we know. The law is important because it knows when we sin. And therefore, if the law still reveals sin after we're saved, then we need to be understanding a little bit about the law, though we know it's not a curse to us anymore. We're on the road to heaven. And God, it can't keep us out of heaven, but we want to know about it, because you find out that Paul says we established the law in the latter part of this verse. Now, notice he said, but now, the righteous God without the law is manifested. Isn't it amazing? I don't see how anybody in this world can read the Bible and come up that you got to keep the law to be saved. Over and over, without the law. The law, you renewed for the law curses. He redeems us out from under the curse of the law. And then he goes on and says, manifested without, he said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus or in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, and that includes the human race. And he says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, and that is the mercy seat he's talking about, whereas we have mercy from God, through faith, notice again. Isn't it amazing? Somebody talking about being saved. It's always through faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus, that's through faith. This salvation is there, but it don't come automatically. There's a channel it goes through. And that's where God reaches through to get us to come through the door of faith as we go through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, say at this time, his righteousness. That's what we got to have, to stand in the presence of God, that he might be just and the justifier. Isn't it amazing? God is saying, hey, before you get it, I'm going to be the just. I'm going to be just and the justifier. And therefore, he would have the right to offer to us that which in turn we could accept or reject, and in so doing determine our destiny. And he said, which believe in Jesus Christ, that he might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, isn't that amazing? Because if that be the case, and I think it is, a man has to trust Christ, believe in him to be saved. Without Christ, there is no salvation. How can this world be so confused about that? You'd be surprised at the people today, a lot more who believe that they're all right before God without even going through Jesus Christ. And yet, and they say they believe the Bible. I don't know what kind they have, but notice he goes further and he says, where is boasting then? Is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith? He said, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Go back to verse 22. He says, for even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ or of Jesus Christ unto all men. Here he says, therefore we conclude that man is justified. He's declared right by faith, who is in Jesus Christ, without the deeds of the law. There it is again. Have you got it? Amen. All right. Then notice, then he said, is he the God of the Jews only? Is not also of the Gentiles? Yes, he answers it, of the Gentiles also. Now watch verse 30. Seeing it is one God, and by the way, we believe that, which shall justify the circumcision, that's the Jew, by faith, and the uncircumcision, that's the Gentile, through faith. And so since God had dealt with it with Israel, they had to be justified by faith, or they should have walked with God for 1,500 years. But Gentiles come through faith. They not walk with God at all, except how they come under the system, the judicial system in the Old Testament. If they would obey God, then God had respect to person for those who obey him, for it's better to obey than give sacrifice. Then once he had slayed this out between the Jew and Gentile, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Now watch this. Then I said, you remember when I said, I'll start with, that this person said, hey, you're saved by God's grace, and that's it. Don't let anybody tell you how you should live, what you should do, and how you should be, all these things. You just be sure you're ready to meet God when he comes back, because he loves you so much, Christ died to save you. But wait a minute. After we went through all of this about justification, notice he said, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we, who? Not the world, the child of God. What does it say? Establish the law. Right? You might say the same thing? We establish the law. That is the standard. We work towards the goal of realizing that that's the only way that a world can see that we are saved, by establishing what they look at as outward manifestations of works of some kind. And of course, James tells us about that too. Now go with me to Galatians chapter 2. And want to look at a few verses, and then we'll get into some good stuff. Amen. In Galatians chapter 1 and 2, just paraphrase a little bit. The Apostle Paul said in verse 10 of 1, he said, do I persuade man of God, or do I seek to please men? Yet if I please men, I should not be the servant of God. Of Christ, isn't it amazing? He said, if I try to seek to please men, I'm not the servant of Christ. He didn't say that he didn't please God. He said, I'm just not the servant of Christ. And he lets us know that where he came from, he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now, he said, I've neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So after Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, somehow or another, he led him over into what is Achaia or into Asia Minor and taught him 3 years. And this is what he tells you, and get this to you before we go to chapter 2, verse 15. He said, you have heard, what's this? I didn't receive it of any man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason he was an apostle, by the way. He was revealed personally and taught by Christ himself. He won't walk with Christ when he walked on this earth, but he spent 3 years over there studying, and Christ began to reveal. No doubt he studied the Old Testament. Christ revealed this to him. He said, you ever heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion? How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Paul said, I realized what I was doing. I realized that I was out of the will of God. But God, he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. But then he said, and profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals. I did much more profit in that, what I was doing, killing Jews, than anyone else. And he said, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. My father, Jewish fathers, had no zealous and desire to do against Christians like I did. And then notice, he said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Isn't that amazing? You see what happened there? Oh, I'm saved on the road to Damascus, but don't you know it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb for that day. And Paul received Christ as Savior. I'm glad he helps me understand how he's in control of things in predestination otherwise, but he knew exactly what Paul would do. And then he said, to reveal his son to me, in me, that I might preach him among the brethren, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem and saw Peter. And of course, I abode there with him 15 days and none other than James the Lord. And he goes through and tells, now in chapter 2, he said, then 14 years later, he went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas. And he tells about that. And we don't get into that. And he could have had a little a situation with Peter. And he's in Antioch now in verse 11. And here we come to verse 15 as he had that little trouble with Peter, saying one thing and practicing something else, and he called him on the carpet for it. Then he said in verse 15, though, we who are Jews by nature, that's by birth. He's talking about the nation of Israel now as a Jew, and not sinners of the Gentiles. Is that an interesting way to put that? We're by nature Jews. And he said, and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, knowing that a man, and even as a Jew, birth by nature, and the system, knowing that a man is not justified by the law, works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified, that's declared right, by the faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's kind of like he's double saying things. We've not been justified by the law, proving the fact of coming from the descendants of Abraham and being born into the Jewish family. What he's saying, he says, we as Jews know that God only accepts those who have faith in Jesus Christ, and he's talking to Jews who believed that Christ was the Messiah and believed had been won to him, no doubt, and he's trying to lay out the fact that because they're saying that they were sinners saved by grace, just like Gentiles are sinners saved by grace, because the ground's equal there. Now watch in verse 17. He said, no flesh shall be justified in verse 16. He said, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ. Now Paul is preaching Christ to the Jew and to the Gentile. He said, if we seek to be justified by Christ, I'm preaching to you that it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you got to, that's how you're going to be saved. So if we seek to be justified by Christ, watch, he says, we ourselves are found sinners. In other words, Jew, anyone in the Jew that seeks to be justified by Christ to listen to the gospel message are found sinners. And they had a problem with that because they didn't like to be identified with the Gentiles. And so notice, he goes further and he says, and we ourselves also found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? In other words, when we, the Jews, seek justification by Christ, and that's the gospel message that's been preached, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the most parts of the earth, Romans 1:16, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. And that's the same gospel. And when it's preached to the Jews, when we, the Jews, seek justification by Christ, we are found sinners. That means they say, hey, if we're seeking justification by Christ, we're sinners. Because that's all who can come that way. And I like when I see that he said, then does that make Christ the minister of sin? Some of them said, all right, Paul, if God made me a sinner to trust Christ as Savior, then God's the minister of sin. He is making me something I'm not. But he says we are sinners. Jew and Gentiles are the same because of Adam. And so he goes on, he said, but if while we were to be justified by Christ, we ourselves were found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? And he said, God forbid that. In other words, is Christ making us sinners so we can trust him as Savior? And he said, away with that thought. That's not the way it is. It. You're a sinner because you are a sinner. And you need saving because you're a sinner. And You got to understand the brackets. And go back in your mind and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm going to go back in Genesis and I see when God created Adam and Eve, the fall, and see that story. Then move rapid as you come through the scriptures down to where the flood's at. And then God destroys the earth because of the flood. And then Noah and his family is left, and they start over again. Within just a few periods of year, you get to Acts chapter 10, Nimrod. And then you get to Acts 12, where God calls Abraham out. And you see the sequence coming as he's preparing this wonderful thing that all Gentiles be saved the same way. But he took all these years. And you see Abraham called out. And then you see the rest of the Old Testament showing God working through Abraham and his seed to get the nation in place for the Messiah to come. Get them out of God, 400 years, they don't hear anything from God. And then you get the New Testament, the Gospels, you see Jesus Christ coming. He died and was buried and rose again. Then we have the book of Acts, it gets in transition period from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. And then we come, as we get into the epistles, we see God telling the churches what to be done in this great message of the cross and what should be doing. And then we get the book of Revelation, see the end of age, and then finally we see the millennium reign. And then we see the white, great white throne. And we see from beginning to end, the overall picture. And each one of these has a phase to get us to the next step till God gets us where he wants us to get. And it doesn't matter where you Adam or the last man ever lives on this earth. All of us saved by God's grace, Jew or Gentile. Make no difference. Aren't you glad that God lets us go back in our mind and see where he was at when he started it? And he saw it all from the very beginning. And he said, hey, it looks like it's going to fly all to pieces once in a while. But I want you to know I'm in control. And by the way, it does look like it. I don't think there's one in here. As much as we love the Lord and try to serve him, I don't think one in here, if we had our mind thinking, we'd already close this thing out. We'd already close it out. I would have. But I say something about God we still don't quite understand. He's loving. He's patient. He waits. He has a lot of... He's tolerant, he has compassion, and he gives everybody a chance, no matter what generation they are, they live in. And so watch, as we go through, now watch in verse 18, he said, for if I build again the things which I destroy and make myself a transgressor. Now, if a person says that I rebuild justification by law rather than by faith, how does he do that? Say, I was a Jew, and Brother Ken was a Gentile, and he led me to the Lord. And now I come in and I say, man, this is wonderful. I follow everything. But then all of a sudden I get in an environment where someone said, yeah, well, you can be a Jew. That's all right. We'll accept that. But God worked with us 1,500 years with the law and other places. So therefore, you really need to be circumcised. Well, I don't, as a Gentile, I don't have to be circumcised. Yet I find there's times Gentiles were circumcised. You see, when Paul went into Jerusalem and he had some of him circumcised to keep, at that particular time, to keep an uprising coming, that they wouldn't do that. But later, they didn't do that anymore because we don't have to be, you may be circumcised physical problem, but it's not a requirement as a covenant with God. Our covenant's in Jesus Christ. And so here, we can see that, it amazes me because if I look at it through the eyes, as Paul said, if I build again the things which I destroyed, that now I think they'd be circumcised. And you know, also, you can trust Christ, but you need to keep the law too. God required it in the Old Testament. Isn't it an amazing thing? They didn't keep it at all for 1,500 years. And God gave a system so they'd be clean and blameless because of the sacrifices. And yet, even in Christ, they thought they could keep it. And that's what gets me years ago. I'm glad God said to me, folks, I can't be saved by the law. I'm saved by grace. Keeping the law is impossible for me. If I could not be saved by keeping the law, I cannot stay saved by keeping the law. You say, preacher, wait a minute. I've got a new creation in me, but I want you to know this flesh rules a whole lot. And if you'll be honest, it does you too. You say, well, now, preacher, I've arrived. All right, let's go where you work at a little while. Let's go see your home a little while. Let's see what happens behind doors once in a while. And you'll find out, folks, we need a lot of improvement. Amen. Amen. You and I, this body, is our greatest hindrance. And by the way, I seen a little cartoon the other day, had Satan on the side just a-crying. So I said, what's wrong, Satan? He said, everything that happened to that church, they blame me for it. I thought that was good. He blamed me for it. Amen. But anyhow, move on down further. Notice, then he says, for I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Boy, that's great. In other words, God's law, he said, listen, I to the law am dead to the law. In other words, the law has killed him. And what it is, he said, for God's law has killed me and freed me from its power, now I can live unto God. That's what he's talking about here. He says, for I am through the law dead to the law that I might live unto God. Isn't that amazing? He said, that law brought me to the point of death. And now, when I saw life in Christ, I'm dead to the law that I might live unto God. I don't have to worry about a lot of things. The law cannot curse me anymore. But on the other hand, I must realize it's still a standard to guide me within premises God wants me to be. Amen? So I see a wonderful thing here. And he goes on and he says this. He said, but I do not frustrate the grace. Well, first of all, he said, then he comes to this, I am crucified with Christ. Crucified means he's put to death. I'm put to death with Christ. Nevertheless, he said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Since I'm saved, I've lived by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. Then I like what he says in verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. That is, I do not make the grace of God none effect or have it bring it to nothing. For if righteousness came by the law, now look at that. If righteousness came by what you do and not who you are, then Christ is dead in vain. Notice, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What is the law? By what you do. And then he says, and not by who you are. I'm glad we are who we are in Jesus Christ. And then God gives us understanding about life later, what we should be doing. Now, this is a big word, and a very often people misunderstand the word justification. What does it mean to be justified? It simply means to be cleared of all blame and sin because of the blood of Christ. And go back to Leviticus chapter 16, and you'll see how that God gave the ordinance of the law and how it operated. It is to be free from every charge that the law can bring. To be saved by grace, justified in Jesus Christ, is free from every charge in the court of God where the law can bring. It condemns us, and yet we have been declared right. Now, how does that work? Because of God's grace, the sentence of God's court is in favor of the prisoner, which with you and I, who's in covenant God with the law. That is, we stand in God's court, and by rights, everything that's said, we did. Because God keeps accurate books. He's not going to lay anything to us that we didn't do. He's not going to allow anything to be led to us we didn't do. He keeps accurate books. So everything that has in this court to be condemned that Satan can say would be true. Satan's not going to go to God and try though he's a liar and a father of liars, he knows, God knows what we do and do not do as much as anyone. That's when he had a little trouble with Job, which God mentioned to him about tempting him. And so here in this time, I see that the prisoner stands in God's court in Christ Jesus. Watch this now, folks. This is a blessing. He stands in God's court in Jesus Christ. He's charged with sin. The evidence is heard. The verdict is in. But now as you wait, it's stamped not guilty. Can that happen? Yes. Why? Because Jesus paid the price. Now watch. If I look at this and understand my court today. The verdict's not guilty. This man in Christ Jesus is justified. He is declared right. I love that. No man can forgive a man and justify him at the same time. Did you hear I said? No man can forgive and justify at the same time. Why? Because if you look at the court this way, and I won't get all of it tonight, if you forgive a person, he cannot be justified. He must be guilty. Think with me now, and I hit and you'll see where I'm going. If I forgive a person, that means he's done something that he's forgiven of, therefore he cannot be justified in my sight. On the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, therefore there's something he had to be forgiven for. That's the reason we forgive. On the other hand, if a person justifies him, then you don't have the need to forgive. If something has been acclaimed and it's been justified to be right rather than the way of wrong, you don't have to forgive a justified person in court because he'd be declared right. So if a person asks for forgiveness and to give that forgiveness in that situation, they must have done something that need to be forgiven of. So what happens is this. Suppose that you were charged with a crime and the jury found you not guilty, and the judge said, because you're not guilty, you are a free person, and you go out that door. And when you get on the outside, you walk out the door and someone says, boy, that was kind for that judge to forgive you, wasn't it? You say, wait a minute, he didn't forgive me. Well, he set you free, but he didn't forgive me. I won't found guilty. He set me free because I won't found guilty. The jury did not find me guilty, therefore I was set free. And when you walk out and you say, he didn't forgive me, I was justified and did not require his forgiveness, I was proven by court not guilty. And you can't try a person again if they're not guilty. Now, first thing that comes up, somebody say, well, preacher, wait a minute. Human judges and juries make mistakes. And amen to that. They do. But we're not talking about human judges and juries. We're talking about God's court. Let me give you an example. Got time? Yeah. Take a man, and this is a true story, I understand. Take a man that was in court for stealing an expensive watch and chain. It was very expensive. And they tried him. Didn't have enough evidence on him to convict the person. And the judge said, just quickly, you got enough evidence to convict this person. The sentence of this court is acquitted. You're free. And the feller who was being tried said, judge, I need to ask you a question, sir. What does that word acquitted mean? And the judge said, sir, that means simply that you're free. They've not found you guilty. You're free. You're not guilty of the crime. And then he had the fool enough to say, could I ask you a question? Does that mean I have to give the watch chain back? You say, that's the way it goes. By the way, he may give it back. You don't have to. He might do it out of love, because once he's not found guilty, he can't try him again for the same crime. Does that mean that I have to give it back? He was guilty, but he deceived the judge. We'll never deceive our judge, God. So what he's going to do is going to be right. He knows all about us. Yet in Jesus Christ, God says, I count him righteous, justified, fully complete if you're born again. And it's because of my grace. And it's because I've saved you. You believed in my Son. The record of my Son. Now, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. And if I have the Holy Spirit of God living in me, then I can't have it unless I'm born again. Then God said a whole revolutionary time is going to start over in your life of serving me. And I'm start as a baby in Christ in the crib around that, put you on the milk of God's word, bring you along, and I'll develop you as fast as you want to be as this. But just the fact, be sure that you know Jesus Christ is saved. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what this Bible is a blessing to understand what God's done for us, which would have saved. No wonder Paul said, listen, be sure, examine yourself, and be sure you're in the faith. Because it's faith, not just by itself, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that makes the difference in our lives. And I thank God for that. as I look through the scriptures. This creates a new standing for the believer, because he's not only just believed in John 1:12, he has received the Lord Jesus Christ as he received him as Savior. And John in Romans 8, verse 33 said, it is God that justifies. Aren't you glad of that? Someone else may have done it, and it won't be that way, but God's word is it's solid. And Paul said, it's God who justifies. It's God who declares us right. Let me ask you something. When you see what Christ did, you see how he was treated, you see the blood he shed, the thorns, the spikes, all of that happened, the ridicule, the pulling his beard out, the mockery that he had. Once you see him and know what he went through, that you could be saved, don't tell me you won't want to serve him. And try your best to be the best you can as you grow in grace. And not haphazardly in a way just to start grabbing at things to do, but Lord, what is my life's purpose for you now? Let me understand. I don't understand how you love me that much, because I see you more than just as some fictitious mind, figure in my mind that died on a cross. I see the reality, what happened between you, God the Father, and God the Son. I see the reality, the fact that you had to, he turned his back on you, and you had to cry out, my God, why has thou forsaken? That, so I will never have to cry that out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, this book is precious. But it's not been taught today like in depth like it should be. And this is the food for our soul. And so I close tonight. I thank God Almighty that there is no hope in God's law. He tells us that without the law for salvation. Justification is needed. And this is the basis upon the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who loves us and gave himself for us. Salvation is based upon what Jesus did for us. And I'm glad he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for me and you. And I'm glad when I stand in the court of God to be judged as far as works are concerned, I'll stand there because of the blood of Christ. And I'm glad that every time Satan begins to try to accuse of something because I just don't know, or I may not grow much in the Lord, that I still can understand I'm saved by God's grace. I've been justified. I've been declared right, not by the world, but by God himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so have you if you've been saved. That will motivate you to want to try to live as clean as you can live in this life. And yet Satan fights it all the time. Father in heaven, thank you again tonight, Lord, for loving us. I love this book, Lord. And I thank you for the years of teaching it. And I believe with all my heart, if we analyze this wonderful truth, these words, and get away from religious teachings of higher up somewhere or another, and say, God, please just let us understand who we are, where we came from, what you did for us, then help us in our failure. Lord, there's so much we need to do in life where we're failures today. And we thank you to know that you see our heart. I don't think you could find. You said that David's a man of his own heart, and he did a worse sin most anybody could think about doing. Not only the fact of adultery but murder, but you saw his heart. When you came to him, Lord, he changed. He got it right. He put it through the system, and he found himself before you. He had habit in his house the rest of his life. But, Lord, you saw his heart, and you gave word, even though what he did, he was a man after your own heart. That is, we will correct things when you show us they're wrong. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.